Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC AM and FM and on the web at WNYC.org. I'm Andrea Bernstein, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Hey, designers, graphic artists, or anyone with a visual knack, you're invited to take part in the Map Your Moves Data Visualization Challenge. You're invited to say that 20 times fast. But seriously, we have asked our listeners to fill out a form listing everywhere they've lived over the last decade and why they moved. Almost 2,000 of you responded. Now it's up to you, artists and graphic designers, to make that information beautiful. We're making all the data available for download. We want you to present it as a map, image, movie, or anything visual. It's up to you. Download the data set and find all the information you need at our website, WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. Yesterday, federal judge Vaughn Walker ruled that California's ban on same-sex marriage irrationally discriminates against gay men and women. While other states have legalized same-sex marriage through state judicial or legislative action, this is the first decision by a federal judge that says a state's ban on same-sex marriage violates the Constitution's 14th Amendment. With us now to talk about the ruling and where the debate about same-sex marriage goes from here are Michael Lavers, the national news editor for Edge Media Network, and Ed Stein, professor of law at the Cardozo School of Law. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Michael Lavers, let's start with you. Give us the cliff notes from Judge Walker's decision.
Sure. Basically, what the judge said in his decision, basically one can describe it as a very forceful repudiation of the arguments against marriage for gays and lesbians. And a couple of particular items that I took note of yesterday was that it basically said, you know, sexual orientation is not a choice. Domestic partnerships lack social meaning associated with marriage. And children who are raised by parents of the same sex are not adversely affected. So those are three specific points, but I think more importantly, Judge Walker concluded that there's basically absolutely no evidence that could possibly support Prop 8's justification in terms of constitutionally or even, you know, socially or so forth. So it was really a very concise and very forceful repudiation of any argument folks have used to disparage marriage for gays and lesbians.
Michael Lavers, and I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name earlier, there was a, you know, when this case came up, Ted Olson and David Boies, there was a lot of suspicion, you know, why they were doing this and to get publicity, and there was some anxiety in the lesbian and gay legal community about whether it was a wise idea to sort of get this in the federal court pipeline. I'm wondering, you know, whether that discussion is still happening or whether the fact that there has been a decision has sort of kind of muted that discussion.
Right. And certainly there was some questions about the timing of this lawsuit. And initially there, as you said, Andrea, there were certainly folks who were questioning their intentions and the timing of it. But, you know, sitting here talking with you this morning, we have a decision and folks are certainly very pleased with the outcome of the decision, and it really provides a lot of momentum for folks not only here in New York but around the country who are fighting to secure marriage rights for gays and lesbians in other states to move forward with those efforts. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, folks certainly welcome yesterday's decision, and it really provides additional momentum to move forward in their various states.
Now, Professor Stein, I read one analysis this morning that, you know, I mean, everybody expects an appeal, and in fact the judge stayed his own decision, so people can't run out and get married anymore. I mean, they can't go get married now. But I read one analysis this morning that said that he created a solid factual foundation that makes it harder or raises the bar for a appeals court to overrule him. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. One of the things that was very different about Judge Walker's decision in Perry is that he, for the first time, actually held a full-blown trial on the question of whether same-sex marriage bans are constitutional. And so he heard a lot of testimony and put those factual findings, in particular the factual findings that allowing same-sex couples to marry would not have any adverse effect on marriage or on different-sex couples, that same-sex couples are no different from different-sex couples in terms of their suitability for marriage, and that same-sex parents and different-sex parents are of equal quality with respect to their parenting abilities. Those factual findings, which he put into the record based on testimony that he heard, are very hard to overturn on appeal. They can only be overturned by an appellate court if they are clearly erroneous, because appellate courts are very deferential to factual findings of trial courts. Now, a court could still say, well, those factual findings aren't relevant to the question at hand, but they create his decision, the approach that he took, did give a very strong basis for the decision that he made. So it does insulate it.
I'm sure there are people listening now and people who have read the decision who read that and say, well, that's not a fact. So, couldn't there be another judge who says, you know, you have found a fact, but you're wrong, it isn't a fact?
Well, certainly in a different case, there could be different testimony and different witnesses that could disagree with that. But in this particular case, the role of the appellate court is to decide legal questions, not to rehear testimony. That's what's kind of brilliant about both about his decision to take to have a trial and to hear a lot of testimony. In fact, it was quite remarkable that the defenders of Prop 8 really did a quite poor job of making factual of offering testimony. They only offered two witnesses, and Judge Walker found those witnesses as lacking in credibility.
Go ahead.
In contrast to the credibility of the witnesses put up by the advocates of same-sex marriage, who were found to be highly credible, and in fact, I think that's pretty clear that they didn't do that. The defenders of Prop 8 did not do a very good job of making a factual basis for why Prop 8 was constitutional.
One of the things that seems to have influenced the judge's decision is the lack of defense for Prop 8 by the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or the state of California.
That's right. Neither one really did much to defend the factual basis for Prop 8. And in fact, when asked, the lawyer went for the Prop 8 folks, when asked, is there any factually verifiable way in which allowing same-sex couples to marry would harm different-sex couples? The lawyer said, I have no idea, basically. I don't know. I don't know how Prop 8 could harm straight people or the institution of marriage.
Michael Lavers, I want you to listen to one of the plaintiffs who brought the suit against Prop 8, Kristen Perry, and then respond to what she has to say. Oh, I don't think that we quite have that clip ready, so we can play it in a moment. But let me just ask, because clearly the plaintiffs are happy, jubilant. A picture in the New York Times today showed a group of jubilant plaintiffs and a lone protester in California. And, I'm wondering where public opinion is at. But before you answer that question, now we have the clip of Kristen Perry.
Today, every American should be proud. For so long, Sandy and I and our family have been regarded as less than, unequal, not worthy of liberty and the pursuit of happiness under the law. But this decision says that we are Americans too. We too should be treated equally. Our family is just as loving, just as real, and just as valid as everyone else's.
So Michael Lavers, is this decision going to influence public opinion?
And I think that's a really good question. I think one can certainly argue that more and more Americans are supporting full equality for gays and lesbians, including marriage. But I think the word marriage still is really In some people's minds, it's something that folks just can't support for whatever reason, whether it's religious conviction or whether they just don't agree with it. You'll see more and more people say that, you know, of course I support full rights for gays and lesbians. Even the president has said that, but he still will come out and say, I don't support, you know, full marriage for gays and lesbians. I think we just have to go back to what Judge Walker said in his decision, looking at, let's say, domestic partnerships. These partnerships lack social meaning associated with marriage. So what we're really talking about here, again, is, you know, the idea that gays and lesbians should have full equality. And in this case, we're talking about marriage. I would say more people are getting to that place, especially younger folks, but there's still a significant enough amount of people who are not willing to come out and support the idea that gays and lesbians should get married. So I think that there's still progress
I mean, we've got a referendum of sorts, not in the formal sense of referendum as they have in the state of California, but in the governor's race in California, the Republican candidate Meg Whitman has basically taken the Obama position, which is I'm for civil unions, but I'm not for gay marriage. And the Democrat has taken the opposite position. So I guess we'll get a sort of peek in November about how this issue will play out. Very quickly, Ed Stein, Cardozo Law School, what happens next?
Well, the next question is, will this case get to the Supreme Court? What will happen immediately is there'll be a decision very soon as to whether Judge Walker will continue to stay his judgment, and will people be able to start getting married in California in a couple of days, or will he wait for this case, which will inevitably be appealed? In fact, already there's a motion to appeal. Will it get to the Supreme Court? Really, it depends on a variety of things. As you mentioned, it depends on political things in California, not so much the governor's race, but whether California voters in 2012 vote to repeal Prop 8. If they do, that might moot the question of whether the amendment is constitutional or not and avoid an appeal of Walker's decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, the Ninth Circuit, the intermediate court of appeals between the Judge Walker and the Supreme Court, could reverse the decision, or more likely, I think, it could affirm Judge Walker's decision, but on a much narrower legal basis than Judge Walker's quite broad decision. And if it does that, the case might not go to the Supreme Court either. It might not have the nationwide legal effect that some people think that the decision might have. It might limit it to California.
All right. Well, we will be watching the case as it winds its way through the courts. Thank you so much, Ed Stein, law professor at Cardozo School of Law, and Michael Lavers, the editor of Edge. Thanks to you both for talking about Prop 8.
Thank you, Andrea.
Coming up next, a horse of a completely different color. We'll be talking about summer movies with A.O. Scott of the New York Times, so stay tuned.